I know a lot's been said about some controversial officiating calls in the game. I just believe when you play well, those things get minimized. And when you play poorly, those things get highlighted. We're not going to hide behind those things or seek comfort relative to those things. Things like that happen week in and week out. But when you're playing well, it doesn't become a talking point, or specifically, it becomes less significant in our eyes in terms of how the game unfolds. And so from my perspective, I think a big component of us turning the page this week is getting focused on the things that we own in that performance.
50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Mike Tomlin saying, let's not get carried away bitching about the referees. And I wanted to do a lot of that yesterday. I didn't at any point say that's why the Steelers lost the game to the Eagles. George Pickens, who's out there running around at Steelers practice, and we'll have an update on the injuries in just a few minutes here. George Pickens went to IG and said that the refs have a vendetta against the Steelers. New rule, if you win a Super Bowl and afterwards, all people are talking about is how the refs aided and abetted you winning a championship, you're not allowed to say that the league has a vendetta against you. I've watched football for almost 40 years now.
Congratulations on all your success.
I do have a life. I was about to say I have no life, but then I remembered that I have a wife, daughter, and two dogs at home.
But your life outside of them and your family is basically sports.
Yes, because I prioritize it. It means more to me than anything else. I'd rather watch an old game than socialize and hang out with people, which is...
Or watch a current game than socialize with your co-host at a restaurant.
I don't dislike those things. I like it when it comes together. Like, I love socializing and hanging out with people and having a good time if the sports are in there somewhere.
The sports bar was literally created for a person like you.
Great concept. One of the best inventions ever.
Sports bar man John Taffer came up with a Sunday Ticket.
Right up there with porn.
Was that an invention, or did that just always exist, in a sense?
John Taffer invented porn?
No. I'm saying, like, the idea of, like, nudes. Don't you think they were carving nudes into, like, stone tablets even back, like, in the BC times?
Well, they say it's the oldest profession in the book.
No, that's prostitution.
Prostitution, yeah.
So cave paintings.
People have been selling
cave paintings of nudes, I assume, have existed since time immemorial.
I'm not saying this to be sacrilegious, not at all. There's all kinds of talk about some deviant sexual behavior in the Old Testament.
Song of Songs is an entire book of, like,
I mean, bad
erotica.
Stuff was going on at Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's just call it what it is. Okay?
Can you imagine somebody in Sunday school? Let me tell you, kids, we're going to learn about Sodom and Gomorrah today, but just I'll leave it here. Bad stuff happened.
I mean, there were some kinky SOBs back then at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Have you ever heard of the book Song of Songs? It's literally just a Bible book that's all about...
That's what I'm saying, man.
Doing it.
I'm just telling you. It's been around
Charlie's
for a very
looking
long
at
time.
Me like I'm making this up.
No,
anyone that's actually read the Bible knows all this.
I went to Catholic school for 9 years. It's just a hodgepodge of horniness.
All I'm saying is that I've watched football for a very long time.
Yes.
It's probably, and I thought that the Seahawks fans came off as whiny losers.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the big games that I've watched, it's the one where officiating got credited for a team winning or blamed for a team losing more than any other in my entire life.
More than Eagles Chiefs with the juju call?
That's a good one. But that was one play at the very end, and that was more...
So the
like,
ones... the ones
that,
in
that
the,
was a preponderance of evidence for the full season than it was like it...
The Seahawks-Steelers, it was the offensive pass interference on Jeremy Stevens, right?
Yes, that was a huge one.
Which I still think was the right call. Bad
wait,
guy,
wait, wasn't
the
it on Daryl Jackson?
It was on Daryl Jackson on a play Jeremy Stevens caught, right?
No, I thought Daryl Jackson caught it in the end zone and they got
it. Man, I have Jeremy Stevens in my head for that. And then it was the one that I think you see get called a little bit more often now. Hasselbeck getting called for throwing a low block while trying to tackle a return.
Either way.
Vinny Ricicci, who used to host on this station, like, could not let that go when he was a host in Pittsburgh.
Either way, to say that there's a vendetta or the refs are out to screw the Steelers, it is such a great, like, you know, as far as, like, trying to incite the masses and get people worked up and, you know, feeding into the lizard brain, the reason why our team is 10-4 and not 14-0 is because the league hates us or the games are rigged or there's something nefarious going on. Like, I'm all for conspiracy theories and things like that. This is just one of those things that I just refuse to buy into. And it's hilarious to me, actually, that one of the Steelers' best players, and in my opinion, their most important player, does actually believe it. He is right in this respect. There is a vendetta, but it's against him. It's not against the team. The refs don't like him.
Oh, I don't think there's a vendetta. He's just on their radar. A vendetta implies they are like looking to call penalties on him. They set out every game wanting to call penalties.
I do think they do that.
I don't think refs do that. I just think a guy's on their radar.
Aren't those two things one and the same? The vendetta is the guy has a reputation for doing things either post-whistle shenanigans, giving guys the business, whatever you want to call it. Every official who works the Steelers games knows it. It's all over their tape. And I honestly feel like it's gotten to a point like this. We've seen this with other safety issues in the NFL. I think these guys are afraid that if they miss it, they're going to get in trouble. So they'd rather officiate it and say, I'll be the guy who's just like the crew that worked before me or the crew before that, who saw a little bit of this going on with George Pickens and penalized George Pickens for it, than be the guy that misses it, lets Pickens get away with it, and then I've got to hear it from my boss that I didn't do my job. I think the head of NFL officiating informs the crew that's going to work the Steelers game on Saturday, hey, you got to watch it with Pickens on Saturday because he wants to get away with a lot. Whether that's woofing at guys, whether that's taunting, whether that's, you know, they get on his nerves and he blasts somebody after a play.
What about Joey Porter Jr. then, by the same token? Hey, you've got to watch 24 on the Steelers. He'll put his hands on these guys. He's extremely physical.
No, I think that's true too.
Most Steelers fans would then say, then I'm not even going to do the accent. Then why aren't they going after every right tackle who attempts to block TJ Watt? Holding, holding, holding. All he does is get held.
Well, so that is not a vendetta against the Steelers. That is a vendetta against defense. That is the NFL. That's not a...
Why would they be looking at George Pickens? They should let offensive players do whatever they want.
No, that's actually a good point.
I know.
Well, because... Well, hold on, though. The difference there is that the stuff Pickens is doing...
is not play involved.
Yes, it's not like...
Except when he touches the guy down on an interception and then proceeds to go full
Dracula mode.
Hold on a
second, though. You actually did just spark a light bulb moment in me. I do think they, for the most part, let him get away with some of like the
offensive OPI.
Pass interference stuff. Yeah, I do.
Well, he's got good veteran. He's a good veteran receiver in the sense that he knows to keep his hands down until he wants to put him up at the last second. And he's become a master in his third year, I think, at the little subtle push-off, which is what good receivers do, by the way. I was just, all this George Pickens Instagram stuff had me checking Michael Brewerly on Twitter.
Yeah.
Let's see. In response to Ponies, Hard Knocks is a farce if it doesn't cover the George Pickens injury saga this week. He wrote, what saga, bro? Next tweet, does winning not make y'all happy? Always got some negativity when bleep is going well. Okay. Then a Van Jefferson bit, and then minor setback for a major comeback from 2 days ago, loading, and it's just a picture of him coming down the tunnel.
So the only person he seems to be, like, outside of the Steelers world that he wants to respond to and dunk on is me?
Yeah, I checked the replies because he still doesn't follow anybody. He responded positively to the Blitzberg feed. Most of them are to you. I still like that one of his recent replies is to Schefter saying, come home juice to Deontay Johnson. I love that. Come home, player who has now been suspended and basically put on ice for the rest of the year.
They've mutually agreed.
But he's not going anywhere else.
We're going to pay you to not show up to work.
You're so noxious to our team's efforts that we are literally just going to keep you on ice.
412-928-9370. Here's Mr. Old School on the fan. Hello, Old School. Are the Steelers out? Are the refs out to screw the Steelers, Mr. Old School?
My guys. No, I don't think they're out to screw them, but they do got a bullseye on them. I tell you that right now. They are looking closer. And Pickens ain't helping by running his mouth. But, you know, and when it comes to Tomlin, man, we got to stop having these guys on here that every time they want to talk about Tomlin, they bring up Andy Reid and they bring up Bill Belichick. Listen, these two guys have had the best quarterbacks probably in history, and before that they did nothing. So don't try to compare
Reid went to what?
Yeah, you can't say Reid did nothing. He went to a Super Bowl and a bunch of NFC Championship games, yeah. Mr. Old School.
Well, we got to give Reid a little bit, but Reid ain't win one. So,
well, it's not like Mike Tomlin had chopped liver at quarterback. He had Ben for his entire career, just about.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Ben, we both know Ben ain't those two guys. But the thing.
Yes, but he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, Ben. Mr. Old School.
Are we sure he's going to get it on the first ballot?
He better.
Or you'll do what, Pony?
Come on this radio station and bitch and complain about it?
Okay. Mr. Old School, I just wanted to keep him honest there. What? I wanted to see what his ultimatum there was.
Yeah, and the other thing, guys, is I think this is going to be a good season if we win the AFC Championship game, because they predicted us
to win the AFC Championship game?
I mean, excuse me.
The AFC North?
The division.
Thank you.
If we win the division. They picked us to finish second to last, so it would be a good season. It wouldn't be a great season.
Man, I just can't get there. Like I guess I'd love to know if you could give Mike the old truth serum, hit him with the sodium pentothal. You said, Mike, what would you rather win this year, a playoff game or the division? I wonder if he would say, the division. That means I was great for this many games. And I wonder if there's a part of him that would say, like, I stifled Lamar Jackson, I stifled Joe Burrow, look what I did with two quarterbacks, a playoff win would be nice, but look at what I did over the long
haul. If you're saying, like, a playoff win means they won a playoff game and then were out in the next round?
You think he'd say division?
I don't know. I mean, he was making the division out to be, like, something that he glorified and put a lot of value in and really
cared
about yesterday.
I think it's easier to be Mike and feel like the division has a lot of meaning because you are in it every day. That is your job. Like, from somebody that's taking it in my perspective, I am a viewer. I am on the outside. Like, I want the results. I'm not thinking about the journey. I'm not thinking about, like, the obstacles in most cases overcome. Give me the results when the results are the most pressurized.
Does winning the AFC North make it a good season for the Steelers? 412-928-9370. Are the refs out to screw the Steelers? 412-928-9370. And breaking news coming back. How much did T.J. Watt practice? Are they getting George Pickens back? Is Deshaun Elliott going to play? All that coming up next, but first, a gorgeous, gorgeous headline. All right, let's get to the breaking news that we promised you here on the Steelers injury report. It's out for a Tuesday practice that is more like a Wednesday one because the game's Saturday. So they'll have three practices today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Usually, first day of practice, they take things slowly. They don't rush guys back if injured. And the practice report really illustrates that. No practice for Pickens. He just ran around before it started.
Side work, they would call it. He worked on
his
own.
No, not even technically. Well, yeah, I guess individual work. But I guess individual work doesn't count as even being limited in practice.
Individual warming up for a practice.
So
he
warmed
did not participate
up and then
in.
Did not participate in any practice. T.J. Watt did not. Dante Jackson did not. Deshaun Elliott did not. Justin Fields, not that it's that big of a deal, did not. Larry Ogunjobi was limited. So as far as the comeback trail goes, day one of practice, he is the closest one to getting back on the field.
Wait a minute. You say, hold on for just a second. You say Fields not a big deal that he didn't practice? I want to see, like, as far as something that we said earlier in the show, what could they do to surmount the loss of Pickens or the likely absence of Pickens for this game? How about Justin Fields is a bigger part of the game plan?
Yeah, you know what, Chris? I'm going to give you like they do on Around the Horn.
You're going to make the little buzzer go up?
Yeah, you give a little.
Stonks go up?
Little point there.
I just think that's one of those guys. That's one of the things I generally came out of the Philly game feeling. I know he was hurt, but like, I want to see him a little bit more, especially if they're playing otherwise at less than full offensive strength.
The practice report said that things were very, very, very laid back today. It amounted to a walkthrough practice. It was a very light practice for the Steelers, and all of those guys were still out. Elliott, Jackson, Watt, and then Pickens and Fields on offense. So, let me put it this way.
How will rank those five guys in terms of who they need to get back the most or who they could afford to be without for another week? Like, you know what I mean? The guys in order of what you'd like to see them back.
Watt,
mm-hmm.
Pickens, Elliott, Jackson, Fields.
I got to put Fields higher.
Than who? Than Elliott?
I might put him above Jackson or something like that.
You always cite Jackson's five interceptions and the fact that his passer rating against is one of the best in the NFL.
I just
and
feel
now you're saying a backup
offense.
Quarterback is more valuable?
A situational quarterback.
I'd rather have all hands on deck on defense and try to win the game 13-10. I'd rather get my defense to full strength.
I don't have like a good feel one way or the other, but it'll be just something to behold if they can legitimately do this again to the Ravens, even at less than full strength, where they
what
drag
I, what
them
What I
into
was
this.
About to ask before you went to the power ranking well was if this is how it actually is on Saturday, and these players are out, what percentage chance do you give the Steelers of winning the game? No Watt, no Pickens, no Elliott, no Dante Jackson.
No chance?
What number? Yes, what number would you put on it?
Man... I'm like, the first number that popped into my head was 25%, and yet that feels like a very high number, given all those guys being out. And the only reason I think it even popped into my head was they've just had this incredible run of overall success whenever they've seen Jackson. And like the most recent game is the worst one he's played against them probably in years, where he himself was the reason the Ravens couldn't get it done. I'd say it's between 10 and 15%. Better than I would have given them chances-wise against the Eagles. Because they get killed by Philly, and I think Philly's better than Baltimore, but not much better.
I go with your first gut instinct. I think it's 25%. I think you give them a 1 in 4 chance because of the Tomlin effect, and maybe Russell Wilson is able to do something special in the game. But that's about it for me. I mean,
he struggled so much against them through the air, though.
Yes, and their pass defense has gotten considerably better since that game.
Like, where's Arthur Smith like distinguishing himself in this situation?
I don't think it'll happen. My argument would be with Russell Wilson that he screws up less than Lamar Jackson, doesn't have a great game. He just makes fewer mistakes, and that's how they win. Going back to like the way that they wanted to play it with Pickett and Trubisky as their quarterback.
I would love to get Tomlin to tell me I'd have to be sworn to secrecy. Whatever their secret sauce is from a technical standpoint on defense against Jackson, I would love to know, because there's obviously something there. Very schematic and very specific.
Aditi claims Tara Lawson gave it to her, but she won't share it
with us. That's what I mean. It's like getting told what's in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. You're never allowed to actually share it.
Rich is on the north side. Hello, Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
I completely disagree with you, man, with... How can we say that it is a good season if we just win the AFC North?
You make it sound like the AFC North is nothing. You make it sound like it's like Division One basketball and you win some rinky-dink conference to get to the NCAA tournament. That's the way you just made it sound there, Rich.
It is.
Oh, so being in a division with Baltimore and finishing with a better record than them and sweeping them means absolute crapola to you.
The only reason that you're saying that it's not is because of the expectations that we had in the beginning of the year. Just because we was expected to not, outperform Baltimore or Cincy, definitely Cleveland wasn't the question, but Baltimore and Cincinnati, just because we're going to beat them and win the AFC North doesn't take away that I thought the standard was the standard. Like, we're supposed to be fighting for championships. Like
if you win your division and win double-digit games, that is the definition, in my opinion, of fighting for championships.
Well, you're talking about just getting to winning the AFC North.
Like, yes,
I want to get AFC Championship Super Bowl.
So do I, but it's not because of the standards of the 1970s. Anything short of a Super Bowl is a bad year, Rich.
I disagree, man.
So every year since 2008 has been a bad year for the Steelers. Every season since.
Absolutely.
You're out of your mind.
No way, bro. I thought we're trying to win the Super Bowl.
Well, then you should have fired. You should have fired Mike Tomlin. That's what, 2010? That's how many? Chris, do the math for me. That's 14 years going on 15 years of bad seasons in a row.
Rich.
See, no, I'm not saying fire Mike Tomlin.
But you're saying every
season has been bad.
So what are you talking about then? You're twisting yourself in knots here.
We're not getting to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. We're not like
yes, that's what I'm saying.
One bad year, you fired a coach.
You just said every year that isn't the Super Bowl is a bad year. Therefore, every year since 2008 has been bad.
So you're saying that after we won the Super Bowl in 2008, what, every year? I mean, we got to the Super Bowl after that. That's That's something. But I'm
well, you did just
that,
hold on, Rich. I have to say, you did just say that every year after the Super Bowl they won, at first you said was a bad year. Even the year they got there,
yes,
and then lost.
Yes, you said
by
it,
six.
Not me. Those like are the words that came out of your mouth,
okay,
not mine.
I'll take that back.
Okay.
I'll take that back. But after
we'll strike that from the official record. We've got a court reporter in here, Rich.
After 2010, are you saying we've had, I mean, is it good years? Winning seasons?
Well, then,
not
well, then,
losing
I, then you're,
try,
you're trying to have it both ways. You're saying it would be a bad year if they don't win a playoff game, but the coach is doing a good job. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I didn't. I'm just saying, I don't agree with firing Tomlin if we don't make the AFC championship. We're not
no,
like
no,
every other team.
No,
we fire
no, no one said, did anyone say that Tomlin needed to get to an AFC championship game unless he should be fired? I certainly didn't say it, and I don't think you've said that today either, Chris. Have you?
No, I haven't. Crowley said it, right? Or no, not if they don't get to an AFC
Crowley
title
said they
game.
Have to win a playoff game or Mike's out, regardless of what the regular season record is.
See, the problem with that call is, like, I am sticking to my guns very emphatically.
Pew.
Yes. And yet, sometimes when somebody like Rich calls in and at first gets out over his skis, he'll say something that is pretty preposterous, which is literally every year since 2008 has been bad. Even I, a person who does hold them to a pretty high standard because I think they want to be held to a high standard, is not going to say, ah, yes, you lost to Aaron Rodgers, a man who would end up winning four MVP awards in a very closely contested Super Bowl where you had the ball and a chance to win the game with like 2 minutes left. Yeah, that year sucked. That was horrible.
I don't think you're holding your team to a low standard if you think 12 wins in a division championship is a bad year.
It
I
is,
mean, it's a good
it
year,
is in the context of their recent, and like you have to take the context into account here. You do. You have to. It isn't the same as if like the Texans last year win their division. How many games did they win? 11?
Nine.
Not whatever. Whatever they were last year. Shockingly good year. You don't expect that. Like, I have to answer this question in context and not in the vacuum.
I don't know, man. Isn't this on some levels a shockingly good year that they're not, they've already clinched a playoff spot and they can win a division on Saturday with 2 weeks to go after this one? That's not a shockingly good year?
No, not for me.
You picked 8-9 before the season started.
And they might go 10-7 and make the playoffs. It would be a difference of two wins.
We're not arguing how we view them if they go 10-7. We've been talking about if they win a division championship on Saturday, how we'd view them.
It just does not move me, regardless of what I picked. Once I'm in the moment, once I'm watching it.
Take some football Viagra then and see if it starts moving.
Then I say, win me a playoff game. That would be the equivalent of the little blue football pill.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. Here's Charlie with a headline. The football debrief is next. Donnie's on his way to host the Landon Roberts Show at Minio's Pizza House in Allison Park. He will join us tomorrow night at Mike's Beer Bar for our annual karaoke party. Show will broadcast there from 2 to 6, then the karaoke begins at 7 and goes until the place closes. And Pat Fryermuth is on the guest list that was sent out.
We're doing karaoke all the way till close.
If you want. If you want. It's not required.
You can sing if you want to.
You can leave your friends behind.
And if they don't sing, then they don't sing, then you... I don't know.
Charlie, you have the debrief because Donnie is in transit right now.
You would be correct. Dan Campbell, the head coach of the Detroit Lions, went on our sister station in Detroit. I believe it's 97.1 The Ticket.
Yep.
It is.
And they lost their second game of the year that snapped their 11-game losing streak. And this
winning
was,
streak.
I'm sorry, winning streak, correct. I'm used to the Lions normally losing
I
that many
it.
Games. It's a long clip, but this is what he had to say when asked about the 11-game winning streak being snapped.
And look, I don't, you know what happens is, you know, you win 11 in a row, you know, and you lose, and then the sky falls. And I hate to say it, but we're not going to be able to win 11 in a row again for the rest of this season. We're just not going to be able to do it. And, you know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know, but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are, and we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys, and you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are about to have an unbelievable opportunity here, and we will play the game any way needed to win. We still got a good offense. We got plenty of defensive players. I can go rattle them off right now. We're going to put the best 11 on the field. We're going to freaking cut it loose. We're going to play with our special teams. And I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one, you're going to see smiles on my face, I promise you. All right? If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a smile from my ear to ear. All right? I can promise you. So we're going to find a way and we're going to get it done.
I'm back in on the guy, but I will say he had it happen in the NFC Championship game last year. I think people who disagreed with some of his decision-making in-game, willing to cut him some slack because he did get the Lions to the NFC Championship game, which is a huge achievement in and of itself. If it happens again, I think all of this bravado and we always go for it on fourth down and we always roll the dice, the Riverboat Ron stuff like Ron Rivera used to do, didn't talk like that, though.
Well, except Ron Rivera was Riverboat Ron, but he was like the most risk-averse coach in the entire NFL. It was like an ironic nickname.
Oh, so they said that just to make fun of
him? No, they actually felt like he was a real riverboat gambler, but it showed how conservative coaches were.
All I'm saying is that a lot of the people that have loved Dan Campbell's balls are bitching about the fact that he did an onside kick.
I had no problem with that.
With 12 minutes left, down 10.
I had no problem with that. Because, now granted, it didn't work out the way I'm sure he would have intended it to. They scored on the first play after Hollins ran it back to the 5.
Yep.
The thought there is, best case scenario, you recover the onside kick, not likely. Next case scenario, Buffalo gets the ball, you manage to maybe stop them on 3 downs, they kick a field goal, they're still only up 2 scores on you, you get the ball back much quicker than if they got the ball at their 30 and actually executed a drive. I can at least squint and see kind of the psycho logic there. He's coaching to the game that he had in front of him, which is, my defense cannot stop Josh Allen. He is basically the Terminator. I've got to try to find little ways to get more in the margins here. I got no issue with it.
The Lions just announced roster moves, adding on to this. Carlton Davis, Khalil Dorsey, and Aleem McNeil all on the defensive side.
Two of those guys are starters, so they're down, I think,
they're down
to 16 guys
on
defense.
All on injured reserve.
Yep.
They've lost. We were all talking about, like, T.J. Watt, who would even be the guy who would step up and, like Joe was at the end of his show, win the defensive player of the year if Watt, like, didn't play really for the last couple weeks.
Oh, that's easy.
Hutchinson, though, would have won it in a walk had he not gotten hurt.
Sertan in Denver would win it if something happened to
T.J. I think he then said he tried to say that somebody in Denver would win it, and I think he said Nick Bonitto, but he said like
Nick Bonino.
No, he didn't say Bonino. Oh no, he called him Betonio, like Joel Betonio. Yes, linebacker Nick Betonio. I'm bummed about the Lions.
You love Dan Campbell.
Well, I do because I think him being so aggressive though.
Better coach than Tomlin?
Yes, right now. Absolutely he is.
Absolutely.
His team buys into the aggressiveness, so I think when he's hyper-aggressive to a fault in most people's eyes, his team, that's how they expect to play, and I think it makes it more defensible. I also am just bummed, because here's the real truth. The team that usually wins the Super Bowl is a lot of things, but healthiest in the NFL is usually close to the top of the list. I think they are the best team in the league when they are healthy. They are so unbelievably beat up on one side of the ball, and it is having such an obvious impact on them that I'm just bummed that they're almost certainly not going to win.
It. They just need the games at home, just like Philly needed games at home in 2017.
They need them at home so that they can try to win 45-42 shootouts.
Well, they can't, with Goff's little tiny picket hands, he can't go to Philadelphia in January.
He was up big on San Francisco outdoors.
Yeah, that was good weather that day, though, Mulls.
Their last 3 games of the year, at Chicago, at San Francisco, at home against Minnesota.
They got to win out, I think.
They could lose all three.
They got to win out to
get
that
number one
seed.
They could even lose to the Bears, who haven't won in like 10 weeks. Because for whatever reason, the Bears always play them very well. Last year, they could have beat them twice.
If they clinch the number one seed with all of these,
should have beat them on Thanksgiving.
Is Dan Campbell the unquestioned coach of the year?
No, I still think it's Sean Payton followed by Kevin O'Connell, and then I would have Campbell third. And I would have Andy Reid 4, and then I would have maybe Tomlin 5.
I can't remember a Steelers season where even close to this many people, specifically on one side of the ball, would have been injured. Like, I'm talking significant players.
I mean,
that
by
team.
The end of the season where they lost to Tebow, the defense was a mash unit, but it wasn't anything like this.
The names of dudes that are actually on IR there is just bonkers. Like, Hutchinson's the headliner, but these are pretty much all useful players to them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's insane.
Well, Charlie, did you see the player that they picked up today to play defense?
From the Jaguars practice squad, right? That guy?
Bill McPeak. Do you think he's going to do well for them?
I have never heard of that man in my entire life.
That's because he played for the 1954 Steelers.
I kind of knew that you were walking into a trap there.
I love trying to set people up. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. That's a good pick.
Do you think it amuses
everyone
else or just
you? I'm going to know somebody from the 54 Steelers.
No, I didn't expect you to know someone from the 54 Steelers. I thought I could just throw a random name out there and you would just want to sound like you know football and be like, oh, yeah, that guy will help.
I have no problem admitting when I don't
know something.
I like that about you.
I've occasionally dodged when somebody's tried to do that to me. I have occasionally managed to like sense it happening. Do you know the name of the first Steelers draft pick ever, Charlie?
I have no clue. I'm not even going to try to guess.
Bill Shakespeare.
Really?
A man named Bill Shakespeare from Notre Dame.
Charlie, thanks for a football debrief.
Also, David Montgomery. Torn MCL.
Done.
Done for the year.
So it's not Sonic and Knuckles anymore.
Well,
it's just
apparently
Knuckles.
That injury is like, according to David Chow at least, because he's having surgery for it, it's worse than a torn MCL because usually that would apparently be a non-surgical injury, so there's got to be some other crap happening in there.
Jake is on the fan. Hello, Jake. Jake?
Hey, just a few things.
Sure.
First off, if Tomlin did what Campbell did, you guys would throw a fit.
I didn't like what he did. I mean, you got to take that up with Chris. I mean, if Tomlin did that in a game, Mulsey would flip out, go right ahead. But I didn't like that call by Campbell.
No, yeah. I've defended Tomlin a lot more than most people on this station. I would have been fine with it because I could see the way the game was going. He wasn't going to get the ball back. Just stopping Josh Allen normally, he needed to take a wild risk.
Well, regardless, I mean, you can say that. But and if Pickens is out, Fields has to be – him being healthy makes up for so much on the offense because it gives a second component that we can go to.
What makes you confident that they would actually use him as a second component?
I'm not saying they would. I'm just hopeful.
Oh, okay. I mean – I don't disagree with you on that, but my concern is that there's not, well, is it even a concern at this point? I'm just trying to collect my thoughts here.
Your belief is that they would not use him the way that the caller.
I mean,
Jake
probably had a good answer there. Like, they have to. You said outside the box things in that Bills Lions game. If you're down this many defensive starters, no T.J. Watt, no Pickens, you've got to come up with, I think,
creativity in
something
your game plan.
You can't just fall back on it. Steelers, Ravens, it's going to be close. We always beat them.
If Fields is healthy, that would be my move here.
Me too.
Man.
Me too.
Just integrate him a little bit more.
But still, I would rather have, if I'm ranking guys, I'd rather get my defensive players healthy and just try to win a slog.
Well, yes, you've proven you can win slogs against them. I mean, you've proven that you can take this otherwise ridiculously explosive team and that you've got some secret sauce that grounds them.
I don't know. I feel like the point of that call at the beginning was to like say,
me.
Well, no, not just that. Like to say that you guys are unfair to Tomlin. I've been the exact opposite today. People think I'm being way too fair.
Is today the exception that proves the rule, though?
What?
That you usually are unfair, but you can point to today?
I don't know. Like, give me something other than you always point to the fact that I wanted him traded.
No, come on. I don't point to that as like a serious thing. I laugh about that.
But where have I been? The things that you might throw back at me and say, man, you're being really hard on this guy, you've been the Pied Piper of today. The 7 years without a playoff win.
No,
going
I mean,
on
I've
eight.
Come around to your side on him a lot more. I think that like the main thing, if I were ever going to make an argument as to stuff he got unfairly tarred for here, it was that he took all of the blame during the Killer Bee years, and no one ever looked at like the dysfunction that the quarterback would sow.
412-928-9370, that is the number with these questions on the table. Is it a good year if the Steelers win the AFC North? 412-928-9370. Even if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, no T.J. Watt, no George Pickens at practice. If those guys don't play, can the Steelers beat the Ravens? If you believe yes, tell us how they do it. 412-928-9370.